Well, responding strongly to reports of social media handles and pages of an Australian news outlet being blocked in Canada, hours after it carried a press conference of the External Affairs Minister, Delhi has reacted very, very strongly and has said that such actions highlight Canada's hypocrisy towards freedom of speech.
You have seen our comments that we made. We condemned the attack on the temple in Brampton, and we also called upon the Canadian government to uphold rule of law and to bring to justice people who perpetrated the violence. We hope that the Canadian government will take due action.
Yes, now Professor Swaran Singh, Terry Milewski. He's a retired and senior correspondent in CBC Canada. We're also joined by Dilip Sinha, India's former ambassador. Terry Milewski, let me come to you first. Is it not bizarre that Canada or some in Canada would apparently block an Australian website which carried a press conference featuring India's foreign minister and Australia's foreign minister? There are some here who say that that's huge hypocrisy when it comes to freedom of speech. How would you respond?
Well, it would be if it were true. And it's the kind of thing that these days often is true, because Canada's hypocrisy on this file, I think, is well established. Canada has done very little about violence by Khalistanis over the years. It's been going on for 40 years. I've been denouncing it. Nobody pays any attention to me. Now they are starting to pay attention. However, having said all of that, that the Indian complaints of Canada's pandering to Khalistanis have much truth to them. In this particular case, I know of no mechanism, first, whereby the Canadian government waves a magic wand and takes people off Twitter. Canada doesn't run Twitter. Elon Musk runs Twitter. Canada doesn't have the means to block people and take people off X, as it's now called. Second problem is that the Australia Today has no stories claiming that it's been blocked. I've contacted them. I guess they're asleep now. But the Australia Today, if you look at their front page, has not a word about any blocking of its site or of its handles because of this. And I think that the Indian side has shown a tendency to go a little too far, sometimes spoiling its own message when it is justified by the history in this case, by saying things that are not justified. I don't know why the foreign ministry in New Delhi is making statements that these people have been blocked when they're not complaining they've been blocked. Who's been blocked? And how would that happen? I don't think it did.
Okay. Professor Swaran Singh, just on this point of New Delhi making this very clear statement that, look, it's been brought to their attention and they seem to be aware of the fact that this particular Australian news outlet, their website has been blocked. If it is true, and, you know, I mean, we have a formal statement from the External Affairs Ministry suggesting that that is the case, how would you read that in terms of an action by Canada?
Obviously, Vishnu, if there is a formal statement from Ministry of External Affairs, they obviously have authenticated the facts before they spoke. So I don't think we have reason to question that this has not happened. But I fully endorse the largely tone that was heard from Terry of CVC. India doesn't have to do much anymore. In fact, more and more Canadians are speaking extremely in strong language, including his ministers, including parliamentarians, people in media, and now, of course, the close allies like Australia are also witnessing the same thing happening among their own people. And, of course, foreign ministers, when they spoke, clearly underlined that Australia is in understanding of India's concerns about what is happening in India-Canada relations. To me, Vishnu, I often now say it's not a India-Canada problem. It's a Justin Trudeau-India problem. And to some extent, it's also the same story that happened during his father's time when Pierre Trudeau was the prime minister. This sympathy towards a certain Khalistani movement, which perhaps they overestimate in terms of what that kind of pandering could bring in terms of sustaining his political future. Because, like in any society, it's a very minuscule number of people who are involved, and many of them are not seriously committed, but are there because of various compulsions of theirs. As you know, I have lived in Canada. Like many Indians, we have friends and family there. It's a very limited number, but the way Justin Trudeau has been sympathizing, standing with them, and allowing the unacceptable levels of so-called freedom defies any explanation. Indeed, Canada should look at their own future in terms of allowing such vociferous tendencies to grow within their own country. They have their own problems in Quebec, problems in New Brunswick. There are often people who talk about secession from Canada. So, you know, future of Justin Trudeau obviously is, I think, clearly blocked now. I don't think he's got any future anymore in politics. His Liberal Party will have to bear the costs. I think Canada is bearing the costs overall. But let me underline, it's a very limited, minuscule number of people who are making the mischief. And even those people, you know, the way your videos are showing on your screen are using their flag. Any moment, flag is a symbol. If you're using flag to hit people and flag hits the ground, it falls on the ground, you understand what kind of these people are and how serious they are in whatever movement they are trying to achieve. And also, there is no such movement in India. So, you know, where it is that they want to create this so-called Khalistan, maybe Trudeau is very great sympathizer, and he should allow that to happen in Canada rather than India. Nobody in India was asking for Khalistan here. So in that sense, I fail to understand why a strategy which is blowing up in his face again and again.
Right.
28th of October, okay. His own people are asking him
Professor,
to resign.
Professor, just hold on for a moment. I just want to keep the strike rotating. Ambassador Sinha also with us. The other aspect of this, sir, is that consular camps, which India needs to do, not just for Indo-Canadians, but also for Indian nationals in Canada, can't happen right now because evidently Canada cannot provide security to our consular staff over there. How bizarre is that?
That is really bizarre for a country that claims to promote, uphold the rule of law and respect diplomatic norms. It is really bizarre that consular camp being held in a temple, in a place of worship, being attended by at least half of them were Sikhs. And they were there because they wanted a life certificate from the mission so that their pensions could continue. And this makes a mockery of the claim that this Canada is upholding the right of the Sikhs for a separate state, and that the government of India is oppressing the Sikhs in Punjab. Mm-hmm. And here are these elderly people sitting in the mission, waiting for the life certificate to draw pension from the government of India. This really is a two-faced thing. And I saw a report of BBC News just today reminding President Donald Trump's statement, description of Pierre Trudeau in his first term as two-faced. So this two-faced thing is becoming evident in our relations with India now, where he obviously, on one hand, he wants to keep the report which indicates that China had paid some of his people money. That report is not being published. But a report of Australia Today is being censored in the social media. But he wants to give the platform to a bunch of extremists who have clearly infiltrated his security agency and the police force. And we have seen that they have themselves have had to suspend a police officer because he was seen on camera protesting with the protesters against the Indian embassy camp. So it really is a double-faced action by a government that is bent upon questioning and challenging India's sovereignty and territorial integrity. And I think we should start treating Canada as a country that is hostile to India and then accordingly taking action that a country of this nature deserves.
Terry Biruski, I'm just going to read out that statement of the External Affairs Ministry spokesperson on their belief that Australia Today's posts have been blocked in Canada. I quote, "We understand that the social media handles pages of this particular outlet, which is an important diaspora outlet, have been blocked and are not available for viewers in Canada. This happened just an hour or a few hours after this particular handle carried the press conference of S. Jayashankar with Penny Wong," Penny Wong being the Australian foreign minister, We were surprised. It looks strange to us, right? So they've obviously verified this.
It's not obvious.
And if they're wrong, then we know we'll be the first to say that they're wrong. But it's a pretty clear statement, and there's more that's been said. But go ahead.
Yeah, I have read that statement, and I have looked at the Australia Today's website, and I'm looking at it, and I'm in Canada. It's not blocked. Just because they're asleep right now, they're not confirming to me. I know these people at Australia Today. It's a good and responsible news outlet.
Yeah, yeah.
It serves the Australian diaspora in Australia very well, and they're decent people. They're journalists who operate with integrity. And I don't think they would be concealing this. The other problem that I have with the statement is that people are on the internet and on Twitter every day calling Trudeau a terrorist. Why would they even bother censoring some obscure post from Australia Today about a press conference with the deputy? It's bizarre to imagine that Canada is picking on that to censor. And meanwhile, you can have at it. You can go on X, as it's now called, and say Trudeau is a terrorist. And it happens literally every day. But if you find yourself in a situation, as some of your other guests today have, unfortunately, where you are arguing that we should, instead of believing our lying eyes, we should believe the Indian Foreign Ministry. They say it's been blocked. That's good enough for us. Well, no, it isn't. Just go on your computer, look for Australia Today, and you will see their website. It has not been blocked. I'm here to tell you that I'm in Canada, and I have no problem accessing it at all, including stories about Jaishankar's visit to Australia.
And does that include the press conference?
Yes, there's news about the press conference, but that's not the story. That's not the lead on the press conference. It's about Jaishankar hammers Canada for the violent attacks on the temple, which is
mentioned over here, and I will, you make a very valid point, and we'll certainly, take that into high regard and fact check whatever there is to be fact checked. But the statement which appears to have been made is that there was something which was blocked for viewers after a particular handle carried a press conference of S. Jaishankar. Have you seen that press conference?
Yes, I looked at it before coming on air with you.
The press conference, and not just articles.
Some of the articles are video articles, which include clips of the press conference.
Right, right. Fair enough. Let me go across to Professor Swaran Singh. Professor Singh, the other aspect of this, which has been raised by our foreign minister and which has been raised by India earlier on, is surveillance of our diplomats. Now, Canada has told Indian consular officials that they are under video and audio surveillance. Is this not illegal?
It is. The whole world respects diplomatic immunity. And you would remember that initially Canada had even asked India to, waive that diplomatic immunity and make some of the diplomats available for investigation, which of course India refused because India has not received any evidence whatsoever to justify any such action. And then they have resorted to something called the person of interest, which again is a very fraudulent term, which is not a legal term. It comes out of anti-Vietnam protests in the United States in 1960s. And it simply means that people who can't be arrested but can be consulted could be asked to cooperate in any investigation. But it's not an accepted legal term in that sense. But problem is that the Vishnu media trials could begin. Once you have insinuation made and India keeps silent on it and we allow that to happen, that Indian diplomats are person of interest in such investigations, media will have their own trial and will prove them as criminals involved. And I think India took a really good decision in recalling our High Commissioner and in response also dismissing some of these Canadian diplomats from here. It defies my understanding the strategy that Trudeau has continued to persist with, which is absolutely counterproductive.
Terry Bilewski, one of the points which emerged, when there was this violence in Brampton, was the alleged presence of a Canadian police officer.
He wasn't in uniform
at that time, but he was apparently part of some of the protests over there. You know, there's a code of conduct, obviously, for police officers. You know, to be part of what is known or what is a violent protest. You know, I mean, that's wrong, isn't it? I mean, therefore, if questions are raised on the RCMP itself or different wings of the Canadian security establishment, how would you look
at it? Well, I don't want to get you bogged down in detail, but it wasn't the RCMP, it was actually the Peel Regional Police Force, yes. Which I'm afraid to say as a Canadian has a very bad reputation on this particular file. That is to say, they have been slow to act against Khalistani violence in the past, and obviously they were on this occasion. This is an absolute disgrace. In fact, it's one of the most alarming things about this episode of violence at the Hindu temple, because this officer, Sergeant Harinder Sohi, who's been seen before acting in the same way, that is to say, taking sides at a demonstration in favor of the Khalistanis, this makes this much worse. If you look at the video of that incident, and perhaps you've already done this, yes. Just listen to the audio. And the lady who's taking some of those pictures can be heard saying, "Khalistani police, Khalistani police." She is identifying that officer who has been attacking people on the other side of the question, trying to defend the temple, as it were, and identifying him, trying to get somebody to take some action against him. And in the end, as it turned out, action was taken and he was suspended. So I think this is not speculative anymore.
Sure.
This is now established that in at least one case, an officer did side with the Khalistanis and did not take action. But more broadly, this does reflect a pattern, I'm afraid to say. I'm ashamed to say it, that in Canada, the Peel Regional Police do have a reputation for, looking the other way. On matters of Khalistani violence. And this has gone on, I'm here to tell you, for 40 years. I'm thinking of a case in 1985 where a friend of mine was beaten by Khalistanis almost to death because he campaigned for peace between Sikhs and the central government in New Delhi at obviously a very tense time in 85. And they beat him up and the police came to accuse him of blowing up Air India because they figured he must be a bad guy because he got beaten up, and the people who beat him up must be good guys. They're very confused.
Right.
They didn't really understand it then, and obviously they don't understand it now. This incident was a disgrace to Canada, and I side completely with your other guests on that point. The one thing I'm saying, the one caution I'm offering you, for what it's worth, is that don't believe everything the Indian Foreign Ministry
said. No. We shouldn't believe anything.
They might just get it wrong.
Everything anybody says. I mean, it's our job as journalists to, and I take your point, to sort of fact check everything. Thanks very much, all of you, for being with us.